microphone. This is the great Grandmaster Melly Mel.
And this is Scorpio, Show No Shame.
And I'm Dynamite, the hypest man in the business.
And if you got ears, listen to 90.3 CKUT.
It's 2 o'clock in Montreal. You're listening to the Montreal Arab Show at the CKT Radio 90.3 FM. For CKT, I'm Sarah Hassanin. Our show is aired every Friday at 2. It targets diasporic communities living all over Canada and is streamed in both the English and Arabic languages. Every week, we share a top story from the local news of Montreal and tackle one of the several settlement issues that immigrants may be facing in Canada. We also play a bunch of Middle Eastern songs and music. For this week, we'll be focusing on the 27th edition of the Cinemania Film Festival in Montreal. I'm also happy to interview Mr. Guilhem Caillard, the director of Cinemania, and Mr. Louis Perez, an emerging French actor who played a part in the film Cigare au Miel. You're listening to the Montreal Arab Show at 90.3 CKT FM. I'm Sarah Hassanin.
Rico, putain, mais c'est pas possible que je te vois ici, frère.
Regarde qui c'est là-bas.
C'est Ibra, tu te rappelles d'Ibra?
Non, mais je m'appelle...
Ah, putain, comment ça fait plaisir.
Ouais, oh, je m'appelle Sylvain, moi.
Tu pouvais prévenir, merde.
Tranquille, frère, détends-toi, on fait 50-50. Tu rentres dans un rayon, tu prends un objet, tu le déposes ailleurs. Moi, je rentre et je fais ce que j'ai à faire.
Putain.
Qu'est-ce qu'ils font, tes parents?
Mon père, il travaille dans une brasserie.
Et ta mère?
Elle est pas là.
On va appeler ton père, c'est tout.
Pas mon père.
3099 euros.
Papa!
J'ai besoin de thunes là, j'y arrive pas tout seul.
Quoi t'as besoin?
Mon père, là à cause de moi, il pourra pas payer ses prothèses. Si je trouve pas la thune, il pourra pas servir en salle.
3, 4. Ça c'est pour toi. Maintenant, ça suffit pour aujourd'hui. Jamais trop à faire le premier jour. Arrête de courir.
Faire face au stress que sera l'examen demain.
Pourquoi tu joues pas? Qu'est-ce que tu sais faire? Va jouer. Amuse-toi.
Qu'est-ce que tu fous dehors tout seul?
Je pense.
T'es un rêveur, en fait.
Ibrahim!
Cinemania is a film festival for French speakers. Since it started in 1995, the festival turns out to be one of the greatest film festivals of its kind. The festival is inaugurated every year on the first Thursday of November and lasts for 11 days. French films with English subtitles from French-speaking countries like France, Belgium, Switzerland, Quebec, Canada, Senegal, Morocco, Algeria are displayed, fusing multi-ethnic backgrounds within the French culture, producing such a diverse cultural fabric and outstandingly authentic art. This year, Cinemania's 27th edition presents a fest record of 85 French-language features, all shown with English subtitles. In a normal year, pre-pandemic, Cinemania welcomed 30,000 filmgoers and sold about 500 festival passports per year. Yet last year's online edition was still a huge success. Available countrywide, the lineup saw the festival's attendance explode. And that's changed Cinemania's outlook going forward. This year's event will take place in a hybrid format with full capacity screenings in theaters including the Imperial, Cinéma du Musée, Cinéma Autrement, Cinéma du Parc, and Cinéma Beaubien, as well as online screenings available from coast to coast. Quietly become one of Montreal's most important film festivals, providing a unique platform for French movies to make a splash in North America's biggest French-speaking city. For the first time, Cinemania opens with a Quebec film, Catherine Terrien's debut feature, Une Révision, a socio-political drama produced by Denise Robert about a clash between a CEGEP philosophy teacher and a female Muslim student. After screening at the Imperial on November 2nd, the movie opens in theaters on November 4th.
Tu fais bien de tenir ton bout. Toi, puis dis tout le temps qu'il faut penser par soi-même, mais c'est ça que ça donne.
Tenir ton bout?
C'est rien, papa. T'en fais pas, ça va se régler.
Le message qui est adressé à la jeunesse, c'est de ne jamais arrêter de se poser des questions. Qu'on a toujours le droit de remettre tout en question.
C'est ça, oser poser des questions, pas avoir peur.
On ne perd jamais à discuter, à dialoguer.
The festival closes with Xavier Giannoli's Illusions Perdues, based on the classic novel by Honoré de Balzac and starring Cécile de France and Vincent Lacoste, with appearances by Gérard Depardieu and Quebec filmmaker actor Xavier Dolan. Another movie with a local connection is Khalil Jourege and Joanna Hadji Thomas' Memory Box, a French-Lebanese-Canadian project co-produced by Montreal's Microscope, a story of a Lebanese family that leaves Lebanon in the 80s for Montreal. As usual, Cinemania presents an array of highlights from this year's Cannes Film Festival, including three entries from the official competition. Post-festival, Cinemania presents Valérie Le Mercier's Align, inspired by the life of Céline Dion, on November 23rd at the Place des Arts Theatre Maisonneuve. The film, which was supposed to be part of last year's lineup before the release was postponed, opens in theaters on November 26th. The Cinemania Film Festival is taking place from November 2nd till November 14th. For tickets and information, visit festivalcinemania.com. Today I'm happy to be with Mr. Guillaume Caillard, the director of the Cinemania Festival this year. Caillard's education spans the history of cinema and the management of cultural events. These days, he's especially interested in cinematography and film financing. He has taken part in numerous cultural events in France, including the Montpellier Mediterranean Film Festival and the renowned Festival d'Avignon. Since coming to Quebec, he's been involved in programming at La Cinémathèque Québécoise as a columnist and also wrote film critiques and interviews for such magazines as Sequences, Cine Europa, and 24 Images. Further, Kayar has been chosen as a professional jury member at international film festivals in several cities. He initially joined the Cinemania team in 2010 as an associate programmer. So, could you talk to me a bit about some of the challenges you've had to deal with since the pandemic?
Yes, of course. I would first mention that indeed our festival this year is going to be both online and in the physical actual cinemas. So that was one of the first thing to work on. And during the pandemic, we had a 100% online platform, which was a tremendous success. So the question for this year was, how do we reintegrate the physical part of the festival? And so far, so good, as I have to say. We have welcomed many spectators, and I think that the audience is now ready to go back to cinemas. So it's going to be a success on this part, and it is the first thing we had to work on. And so far, I'm very enthusiastic.
Great. Okay, as a jury member at international film festivals, what elements do you think make a winning film?
As a member of the jury, the first mandate is to make sure that you have very precise discussions with all other jury members. Eligible for the best award in a jury, I think it's the point of view of everyone. If everyone in a jury agrees on film, on a specific film, then we have the winner. It depends on the personality and the experience of each jury member, or maybe it's background. The background of everyone. If one of the member of the jury is an actress, maybe she sees things differently than a director of photography, for instance, or even a critic, a film critic. It depends on everyone, and I think that, of course, quality is very important. If the subject of the film is daring, ambitious, well done, well crafted, it depends on many aspects.
Okay, for Cinemania this year, apart from the fact that we're getting back to physical attendance since the pandemic, what else could be outstanding about this year's Cinemania?
The number of films. The number of films, the number of screenings. We have more than 118, exactly 128 physical screenings, plus 100 online screenings. So that's a very, very new thing for us. It's there's a lot of films, and I think that's it's the first thing which needs to be noticed this year. And then the quality of our international guests. We are delighted to welcome back international guests. And we feel so lucky that after more than a year of isolation, our guests from Europe, from Africa, can come back and visit us in Montreal. So the quality of the guests is very important. We have an actress, Anaïs Desmoustiers. We have a director called Valérie Lemercier. She made the first film about the life of Céline Dion. We have film critics. We have festival directors, scenarists, producers. It's to have all these guests back again at Cinemania is one of our greatest pleasure this year.
Okay, we noticed some films such as L'Heure Algérie and Cigar au Mier, which lend themselves to a very special kind of French identity
as it's more of a fusion with an Algerian kind of heritage. In your view, how significant are such genres to a festival like Cinemania? Films that touch upon fused cultures and different identities.
It is exactly our trademark. And it is our main goal to find these films and to defend them. We love to show that French francophonie, you know, is an ensemble made of many, many different countries with many, many, many different culture. And the fact that you have mix-ups like this, you have different backgrounds and personal histories. You know, the history between France and Algeria is very important. You have a lot of French people who come back, who come from Algeria, and it shows. It's simply a question of actuality. We need to show the face of Francophonie of today. So it is our trademark to show that kind of film, and to show that co-productions are at the heart of modern cinema.
Okay, and how does it feel that you are here in Montreal? Could you talk a little bit about your experience?
My personal experience, you mean?
Yes, like how does it feel to come to Montreal for this festival?
For me, first, I'm working in Montreal since now 2010. So it's always a pleasure to be proud of our city, and the fact that it is made of so many different cultures and so many different backgrounds. So a festival such as Cinemania is just representing all this beauty of different culture and different people coming from so many countries, and the fact that we are a very open society here in Quebec. So this is a great pleasure to work in this context and to defend it, because you know that kind of reality is always could disappear if we don't make sure that we keep defending that kind of mixture and that kind of diversity. So for me, it's a great pleasure.
And finally, what are your upcoming projects after Cinemania?
After Cinemania, I am flying to Rwanda in Africa for the Oscars, but not the official Oscars, the Oscars of Francophonie. It's called Les Trophées du Cinéma Francophone. So it's exactly like the Oscars, but only for French-speaking countries. And it's a very nice event, and I'm very proud to attend it as a representative of Cinemania and a representative of Quebec. And we will choose the best film. So that's my next project. And for next year, making sure that our 28th anniversary in November 2022 will be one of our best.
Sounds like a busy and exciting plan. I wish you the best and wish you more success. I hope you have a great time.
thank you
very much for your time.
That was Guilhem Caillard, the director of the 27th edition of Cinemania. Next. He was studying to become a lawyer, but in his heart, he knew he'd be an actor. Please welcome Louis Perez. Perez is a French actor who played Julien in the film Cigar au Mien. His series Germinal is also a big hit in France.
Il sentait le souffle de Karine contre sa joue. Sa peau chaude et mouillée de sueur. Dans une semi-inconscience, son bas-ventre chercha celui du garçon. Elle s'y accola, se laissant envahir par le délicieux bien-être qui montait des fibres les plus secrètes de son corps.
Tu viens de passer l'oral ?
Ouais. Et toi, t'es en quelle année ?
En dernière année.
Ça fait qu'il nous reste que quelques mois pour dire le grand amour.
J'ai sacrifié ma carrière pour que tu réussisses brillamment.
Je t'ai jamais rien demandé, moi.
Tu peux bien être chaudasse pour une robe.
Ben, je vais y aller, moi. Pourquoi j'ai jamais rien
droit? Tu ne cries pas, les voisins n'ont pas besoin de t'entendre.
T'as peur de ce que pensent les autres? Les Français, c'est ça?
Je te comprends, je suis dévergondée.
Tu veux que ton père nous quitte?
C'est pas bien. C'est pas bien.
Tu sais très bien que ton père et moi, on est contre les mariages arrangés.
Vous m'arrangez quand même une rencontre, là, tout de suite.
Okay, Luis Perez, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
So first off, tell us, who is Luis Perez?
Luis Perez is a young French actor who's just starting his career and who's very lucky because the past 3 years I had the chance to do a lot of different roles in different movies or TV shows. But yeah, he is a very young French guy who's trying to do his path in the world and who tries to discover himself with acting, actually.
All right. And I got to know that before acting, you studied law.
I did for a year.
So could you tell us about the transition? Why did you decide to make a shift from law to acting?
So at the beginning, I started law because my parents didn't want me to be an actor because, you know, it can be very risky. They told me, okay, if you want to do acting, you do it. But in the same time, you do a law school. So I did Cours Florent. I don't know if you heard about this school.
Yes, I've read about it. Yeah. Yeah. While researching for the show. Yeah, I came across it. Yeah.
So I did the Cours Florent in the first year and the drama, a law school in the same time. But at the end of the year, I was like, this is impossible for me. I know some great people are doing it, but I couldn't do it. So I told my parents, all right, I know I want to be an actor. When I'm on stage, I know this is the right place for me. You don't believe it, that's fine, but give me 3 years. And in 3 years, if nothing happened, then I would go back to law school. And they told me, all right, we believe. Okay,
it's fine.
We trust you. We trust you. And thank God, a year after, I found an agent and then da-da-da-da-da. So, yeah, that's how I shifted.
And your parents are now convinced that you are just an actor and then you're going to make it?
Yeah, yeah.
No more.
They're like, they're always being like behind me and very loving, but now they know, and we all know.
Of course, yeah, we do. And no more arguments about law. So you're focusing
now
on just acting.
Yeah. It's a memory now. Law is very far away.
Yeah, very, very nice, amazing. And you already explained to us how your acting career started. So we're going to move on to talk about the festival here in Montreal. So you're from France, right?
Yeah, I am from Paris.
All right. So when you come to Montreal, how does it feel as a city? And tell us about your overall impression about this film festival this year, Cinemania.
So first, it's my second time in Montreal. Because my brother was studying here for 4 years, so I've already been here. But you know what is nice? First thing, it's not about the city; it's about the people. First thing, as a French, when you go to a shop, when you go to a restaurant, everyone are so nice. You know, they tell you "Salut, ça va?" You know, they ask you if you are okay, if you're like, how do you feel? And in France, when you say that, people will look at you and they'll be like, the fuck, go away, strange
really?
Man. It's very strange, very strange. So I love that kind of like spirit, you know, mood. But then as a city, so first I have the chance, you know, it's like I'm very lucky. It's sunny every day.
Is the weather different in Paris? Is it any different in Paris?
Yeah, now it's raining.
This time of the year?
Freezing cold.
November.
Mm-hmm. But now, yeah, as a city, it's amazing. You can do everything by walk. The most far away I don't know how to say
the furthest, you mean
it was like an hour and a half walking, but like I did all the city in an hour and a half.
Wow.
So I love this city. I love that it's city and it's very easy to understand where you are, because mm-hmm. it's like an American city, you know, with corners and big streets, so it's very easy, a lot of things to see, so I love it. And then the festival is like you have so many different movies, so many different guests. You can go like you receive a mail every morning or every evening explaining to you where to go, who to meet, so it's amazing. Yeah, you feel part of the festival. So I'm pretty happy to be here, pretty happy.
Yeah, great. Okay, as an actor, and let's say you've just embarked on this new career and you're young, you're fresh, tell us about some good things about acting and bad things. So what's good about acting and what's bad about acting?
First, I would say what is great, it's not just good, what is great is the freedom you have as an actor. Of course, you spend a lot of time waiting for the phone to ring, but that's part of the job. That's part of the game. But so this time gives you a lot of time for you, you know, to understand yourself, maybe to discover the world. So I love this freedom. I couldn't work behind a desk, you know, all day long. And I need adventures. So this is the second main thing about this job, is like you jump from one city to the other, one country to the other, one adventure to the other. So I need these new things every 6 months or every year. You do something different, but also you have the chance to work with so many gifted people. And I'm not just talking about like the artist, I'm talking about all the people that are working together to like create, build a dream, you know, and you are part of this dream, then you will give this dream to the people. So it's amazing to think that you actually create dreams. I love this. What is bad is that in those moments where you wait, you can be very, like, it can be very tough for you, because you can wait for a long time and then you feel very alone. And also you have a lot of temptation, you know, because it's all, you always have a party or someone to meet or everyone's calling you. So I think you need to, and I'm kind of this guy, I'm like really close to my family and to my old friends. And I think it is important to be surrounded by, you know,
to stay grounded. Generally to stay grounded.
Yeah, so important. I have
those that you confide in, trustworthy people. You have a trustworthy
people.
Network.
Exactly. I was searching for this word. Yeah, I've seen a lot, and I've seen some friends or like people that I know that
they got drifted.
Yeah.
Kind
yeah,
of.
Little. Yeah.
Because it's a show business at the end of
it's
the day.
It's a show business, you know, and sometimes people, they always want you to be part of the show, but then you lose, you get lost, you know. I need sometimes with my family, with my friends, and with me, you know.
Do you take me time? Do you take just time for yourself?
A lot, you know. And now I'm, because now I am. For 3 years, I didn't stop working, shooting. So now I take time for myself. And I think I'm going to go like in Asia you know, to find more about myself.
All right. Yep. Interesting. So talking about the festival, one of the films participating in this festival is Cigar au Miel, with honey. And and you played a part in that film. So tell us about your part in Cigar au Miel.
So I play Julien, who's going to be the lover, if I can say that, the lover of the main character, who's Selma, who's been played by Zoe Ajani. So I play this guy. He is actually the typical French student, you know. On a first level, you can think that he is very proud. He doesn't care about others. He's kind of an asshole. But then you have other levels, which is great for a character, where you discover that he actually cares about Selma. He's actually in love. He's kind, and he doesn't come from the rest of the people. You know, he comes from a very how do you say, medium class or low class family, which is middle class family, which is different from the others, because the others, they all have money, they come from wealthy family and stuff. So this is what gives him this particularity.
Is what's particular about the relationship.
Yeah, this is what's particular about him and what is interesting actually about him. And then they will have love and hate story with Selma. But I don't want to, you know.
You don't want to give it away. Anything. Yeah, don't give it away to the audience. Yeah. So can we say that it's a relationship that goes on a roller coaster, sort of?
Yeah.
There's like ups and downs.
Mm-hmm. Ups and down. And at the beginning, you can think that he is the one, like Selma is going to be hurt and he doesn't care, da, da, da. But then you understand and you see that actually he is the one who's losing. He's at the end, he's the one who's losing because he loves Selma, to say it.
Mm-hmm. And when you were offered this part, what attracted you to playing such a role?
First, as I said before, you know, when you choose a character, you want this character to have different levels. Mm-hmm. This is what it is very like, this is what's interesting about this job. I've learned that this guy has different levels, as I told you before. Then I wanted to be part of a movie that actually says something, and I think this this movie actually could help a lot of men in this world to understand more about women, to understand how to behave with a woman, to understand what not to do, you know. And I get the chance to be the guy who's doing the mistakes, you know. And
you're not the only guy who's...
No, I'm not the only guy, of course.
Yeah, there's another
guy. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, but okay.
No, you're right. I'm not the only guy, but I like the main guy.
Yeah, of course.
I found the script very interesting at the first read. You know, the first time I read it, I was like, okay, I want to do this. This is a necessity. This film is a necessity. And also, I wanted to work with Zoe Ajani, that I've heard about her before, and Camille Renouz. You know, Camille, I didn't know about her. But the first time we had a meeting, I got out of the meeting. I called my agent. I was like, she is a great director. I want to work with her. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you have all these reasons, you can only go and run for the movie.
Okay. Now, while you were actually filming on set, what were some challenges that you faced during filming?
I think the main challenge was that, so every movie or TV show, or job that I do, I prepare it a lot with a coach for like months. I prepare it a lot. But for this one, Camille asked me to be spontaneous, go with the flow. Yes, spontaneous, exactly. Spontaneous, go with the flow, listen to your partner. And it was very, very, of course, I always listen to my partner. I try to go with the flow. But then she was like, do not prepare anything. Mm-hmm. Just trust me, trust Zoe, trust the others, trust the moment. And I found it very interesting. But at the beginning, I was kind of scared because I need to prepare a lot. So this was the main challenge. But thank God, Camille and Zoe were great, and it was great to work with them. So I had actually 3 weeks shooting, and it was 3 great weeks. But and then I would say the challenge for the character is like, so he is doing mistakes, but how, even though he's doing mistakes, how can the audience love him even though he makes mistakes? So this is a challenge, really. But then again, with Camille, we spoke a lot, and she was trusting me, I was trusting her. So this made things go a lot easier.
All right. And there were many intimate scenes, right? So between you and the heroine of the film. We often hear about choreographers who specialize in helping the main actors and characters perform intimate scenes. So was that the case during this filming, or what kind of helped you feel comfortable and at ease with these intimate scenes?
So first, this is kind of an American thing. We don't have it a lot.
Not really.
I've done a lot now with guys and girls, and I've never worked with the choreographers, never. But I know it is something that is arriving, and thank God, because it's very useful. So because I've done it a lot before, I wasn't really stressed. Mm-hmm. Not really. And also because Camille, so she said when we start, so I have few in the movie, but she said to all the people that were not needed on the set to go away. So mm-hmm. this is very helpful, you know, because at the end you only have, I don't know, like 4 people on the set. Mm-hmm. So you feel way more intimate. And and then we spoke with Zoe, and she told me her fears. I told her mine, and we discussed like before, you know. So we really did those scenes in a safe place. Mm-hmm. And also, it is kind of like I'm a man, but it is. I know for a woman, it is way easier to be shot. To be filmed?
Yeah, to be shot or filmed.
Yeah, yeah. To be filmed by a woman.
Oh, okay.
You know?
That's what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it creates a safe place. And I know they talk a lot about it before. So yeah, we were stressed at the beginning, but at the end, we did it in a very good way, in a safe place. And it was a beautiful moment. Really beautiful moment.
It's interesting that this is actually, for me, you've added to my knowledge when you said that when the director is a woman, female actresses, they usually feel safer and they feel more comfortable with intimate scenes. I didn't know that before, so thanks for sharing.
No, it is true. And I've heard a lot about it. And recently, for the movie Titan,
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Tipan. I know that the main actress told like the press and the people and everyone that it was way easier to be filmed by a woman because she's a lot of the time naked, and you know it's very tough for her. So I know she felt the same.
All right. Interesting. Okay, we're going to move on now to the Germinal series. Okay, so can you give us a bit of a background about the Germinal, since we know that it's historical, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the Germinal about?
So it is about a strike, even like a revolution in 1884 that actually happened in France. It's a revolution from the miners, mine workers, that strike because of the way they were living, the way they were treated, and unfortunately.
Yeah, don't worry, you're fine.
it led to a catastrophe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say everything, but it led to a catastrophe. So I'm playing Etienne. Mm-hmm. So it is a fictional, he is a fictional character, but it is written by Zola, Emile Zola, mm-hmm. who actually went in a mine to understand miners. And so it was very, very close to reality, to what happened mm-hmm. and how it happened. So I'm playing this young guy who's going to be like a leader, the leader of the revolution, like a charismatic mm-hmm. leader, but mm-hmm. full of doubt and very young. So he will do a lot of like great things at the beginning, but then he will, because he's very young, he will choose the wrong choice in a way, you know.
We'll choose sort of the wrong path.
The wrong path that would lead to the catastrophe, mm-hmm. mainly for others. Yeah.
And tell us, how did you prepare for your role in the Germinals?
So as I told you, I prepared everything with a coach. So at the beginning, when I got the role, I don't know if you know, but Germinal, Emile Zola, it is maybe one of the like most popular book in France.
Books in France.
Everyone knows about Etienne Lantier and Germinal.
It's almost like Harry Potter.
For French,
yeah. Yeah, it's the new Harry Potter.
It is very, mm-hmm. very huge. Mm-hmm. So at the beginning, I was like, wow. I was with my parents. I was like, wow, it's amazing. And 1 hour after, I was like, how on earth will I mm-hmm. do that? How on earth?
You felt overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, uh-huh. So then I called David Oreg, the director, and we spoke a lot about the role, a lot about Germinal in general.
Ins and outs and everything, sort of.
Yeah.
All the ins and outs, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And we understood, we found that so I had a lot of doubts. And we found that Etienne, my character, has a lot of doubts, you know. So I tried to like put my doubts in a line with Etienne's doubt, you know, and we created all the emotions around it. I think mm-hmm. it was very, very important for me to understand Etienne's doubt. Because when you know, so it is nice to play a charismatic leader, but what is very interesting is to play, the fragilities.
To reveal the weaknesses of the character.
The weaknesses of the character.
To delve into those weaknesses. Mm.
Exactly. Because those weaknesses makes him who he is, you know, as a human. And
you worked around like the character.
We worked around
sort of. You made your own doubts work for the character.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, you try to forget your doubts on the set. You know, on the set, I was like, okay, let's go for it. And because, you know, you had like 2,000 people working every day on the set. So it was amazing. And I was the main character of this huge thing, wow. You know. So, of course, you still have some doubts. But thank God, talking with David and with other you know, actors around me were really, really useful. Mm-hmm. And all the team around me was so talented and so gifted that it was, you know, for me, again, a safe place to work in.
Now, okay, you mentioned that The Germinal is a book. So this film or the series is based on the book. How faithful is this work of art to the book? How faithful is it? So sometimes we have a film made and it's based on a book, but often the case is that the film would not be as faithful as we expect to the book. So we find many changes, you know, the director, the producer, even the screenwriter, they make some changes to the basic plot in the book. So how is the series faithful to the book?
So it is very faithful in the characters, like emotions and stuff, you know, how the characters are described. Yeah, described.
How they're described, portrayed, and even how they evolve, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is very, very faithful, especially my character. But because it's a TV show, it's a series, for like rhythmic necessity, yeah? For a rhythmic necessity, they invented a character called Bresson. So this is not really faithful. And then they, you know, they had a little bit of, they give woman a lot more space and power in the TV show. Because in the book.
Versus so, in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the book, it's, you know, they don't have a lot of power.
It's dominated by male characters in the book.
Exactly, exactly. So they were like, so no, this is not possible. We cannot do that. Nowadays, it's impossible. But, you know, the writer, I heard him once. He said, okay, so we gave woman more power. We created a character. But the thing is, when it was written by Zola, it was so like different and so revolutionary from what was written at this time.
Okay. Then
we are being faithful when we invent some new things, you know, because he was inventing some new things. We can do that. It is all right. And the rest of the story is like the same in the book, same. Mm.
Okay, tell us about your upcoming projects.
So as I told you, I did Cigar au Miel, Honey Cigar, then a series called Mental, then Germinal, then a series called Les Sentinelles. So I went there in Morocco for 3 months in the desert because it's a series about the war in Mali right now with France. And then I did a movie for 2 months called Tropique by Edouard Salier. And so I just finished everything. I just finished. So now I take time for myself. I will just give my voice for the latest Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
So Licorice Pizza. So you're going to be a voiceover actor?
Yeah. Okay. Over Cooper Hoffman. Mm-hmm. So it's nice because he is the main character in the movie. But then, as I told you, I think I'm going to travel a lot and I'm going to, you know, take time for myself because Germinal has been out you know, it's kind of crazy in France.
Yeah, of course. The sensation from what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly. So I want to relax. I want to think just like about me, about my family, my friends and focus on that.
Mm-hmm. If you have a message that you would like to share with the whole world and you would use your art to actually convey that message, voice it to the world, what would it be? What would that message be? Like, do you have a certain cause to fight for?
Yeah, no, I was, because it's a big deal, a message to the world. It's a big deal. So I take time to think, you know.
I mean, especially like, in English, for me, you know, at first, at first blush, for me, it would be women's and children's rights. So, like, I'm a strong defender. I'm an ardent believer in women's rights. And at the same time, I feel strongly about child abuse. So, you know, that would be my cause. So
yeah, but then I know I have cause, you know, I really fight for women's rights, and especially in like in the roles that I don't know if you heard about Mental, but in Mental,
yes,
I'm also...
Yes, I actually, I watched a part of it, and yes, I read an article about it, yeah.
So, you know, I take part in this fight, and also global warming. But, you know, this must be the role of everyone. It's mm-hmm. crazy how like people are saying that it is not existing.
People think it's a hoax. Many people think it's just a hoax.
So
there's like, no such thing. Yeah.
You know, and it's even like women's rights. It has to be everyone. I don't understand how people are like still against that. I'm just okay, go back to your cave, whatever. But no, in a general, if I have a general message, and it's the case in every character that I did, I think, I know it is a bit a bit cheesy, but I really believe in it.
No, it's not.
It is love yourself and be nice and kind to yourself, then you'll have the chance to, you know, love others and be kind to others, you know. And stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. I think that if people open their hearts, their eyes, their ears, I think that the world would be a better place. Yeah, I strongly believe in that. So love yourself, and then you'll have the chance to love others.
Luis Perez, this has been a pleasure. I really enjoyed this interview. You are such a passionate, charismatic, transparent, very raw, vulnerable, authentic person, really. And
thank you so much.
You seem to be an actor and a person who walks the talk. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We've come to the end of our show this week. You've been listening to the Montreal Arab Show at the CKT Radio 90.3 FM. For CKT, I'm Sarah Hassanin. Thank you for listening.
Rico? Putain, mais c'est pas possible que je te vois ici, frère. Regarde qui c'est là-bas. C'est Ibra, tu te rappelles d'Ibra?
Non, non, mais je m'appelle
Rico. Putain, comment ça fait
peur? Ouais, oh, je m'appelle Sylvain, moi.
Tu pouvais prévenir, merde.
Tranquille, frère, détends-toi, on fait 50-50. Tu rentres dans un rayon, tu prends un objet, tu le déposes ailleurs. Moi, je rentre et je fais ce que j'ai à faire.
Putain.
Qu'est-ce qu'ils font, tes parents?
Mon père, il travaille dans une brasserie.
Et ta mère?
Elle est pas là.
On va appeler ton père, c'est tout?
Pas mon père.
3099 €. Papa!
J'ai besoin de thunes là, j'y arrive pas tout seul.
Quoi t'as besoin?
Mon père, là à cause de moi, il pourra pas payer ses prothèses. Si je trouve pas la thune, il pourra pas servir en salle.
3, 4. Ça c'est pour toi. Maintenant, ça suffit pour aujourd'hui. Jamais trop à faire le premier jour. Arrête de courir.
Faire face au stress que sera l'examen demain.
Pourquoi tu joues pas? Qu'est-ce que tu sais faire? Va jouer. Amuse-toi.
Qu'est-ce que tu fous dehors tout seul?
Je pense.
T'es un rêveur, en fait.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, it's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. Screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test-covid-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Et probablement qu'on se croisera jamais. En fait, ça n'a pas d'importance. Par contre, il y a des gens à qui tu tiens. Et ça t'inquiète qu'ils doutent et hésitent à se faire vacciner contre la COVID-19. Même chose pour leurs enfants. On a tous nos raisons. Mais en prenant le temps de les écouter, on peut mieux les rassurer et les accompagner. Et ça, c'est important.
Comprendre l'autre, c'est d'abord l'écouter. Des questions sur les vaccins? Visitez québec.ca/parlons-vaccins. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
Attention McGill undergraduate students, referendum is upon us. Exercise your right to vote on questions that matter to you and your campus experience. Vote in the fall referendum period from Monday, November 8th to Friday, November 12th.